Please may I invite you to turn to God's holy word as we find it in Matthew and chapter 19. Let me say how grateful I am to be part of this special service and to be given an idea as to what goes on here, particularly. Right, we read God's word, Matthew chapter 19, and we begin to read at verse 16. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Verse 22. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Well, let's turn again to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed God in heaven, we are grateful for this occasion. But we are grateful, our dear Lord, for these children and the fact that we can look back to the years that have gone by and acknowledge that it is you who has sustained them and it is you who has brought them this far. And we thank you, our Father, to celebrate this as we seek to receive instructions from your word. And we trust, our sovereign Lord, that as we open your holy word, both children and us who are adults will be instructed by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We therefore ask, O Lord, that to that end, you may now guide the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as you have seen up there, the topic I would like to discuss with you is what I've termed the danger of earthly possessions. And we see this from the rich young ruler, and particularly the conversation that he has with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this clearly, you know, comes out, particularly when you take note of the beginning of the conversation, and also if you take note of the end of that conversation, that I hope should be able to catch our attention. The beginning is what we read in verse 16 and 17. "And behold, a man came up to him, saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?'" Please take note of the question that this young man is asking. "And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you'd enter life, keep the commandments.'" Again, take note of the response that comes from our Savior. And then towards the end, we read in verse 21 and 22. "Jesus said to him,
If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had a great possession. And that's what I'm saying. If we take note of the beginning and the end there, we should be able to recognize why I am saying the danger of worldly possession. At the beginning of that conversation, it's clear to see that this young man, you know, asks the right question. And he has come to the right person. And he has come at the right time to ask the questions that he has. And I would like to think as the conversation progresses that the young man was extremely sincere as he is responding to the Lord Jesus Christ. But alas, when you come to the end of that conversation, what do we notice? What do we notice? Sincere as the young man was as he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, sadly, his actions demonstrate where his heart was. Now, his actions tell us that he had his priorities somewhere else. And that is where we see the danger of worldly possessions. And having said that, I would like to say this, first of all, to you, dear parents. I'm sure, yes, the church here is honored that you have brought your children here. And some of them, as we have noted, have been here for about 10 years. But I want to ask, dear parent, that what has been your desire as you brought your child to this school? What is the one most important thing that you have desired that your child will go away with as they leave in Eagle's Nest School? And to you children, first of all, I'd like to congratulate you for the fact that you have been brought to this stage. I would like to congratulate you, but the very fact that you have come to this stage, it tells us that you have been working hard. But again, I would like, as we begin, to ask you this question. What is it, as you leave Eagle's Nest School, what is it you are going to say is the one most important thing that you have obtained from Eagle's Nest School? That even if you go somewhere else, you will be able to say that this is the one most important thing that at least you gained from Eagle's Nest School. But I hope, as again we progress, I hope none of you, my dear children, none of you will end up like the rich young man that we are reading about here, is that he turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we'll be saying, he came so near, he came so close to the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he was so far away from him. And yet he was so very far from the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope the things that you have learnt, you know, yes, you've learned numbers, you've learned the language, but I hope you've learned something about the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you've been brought very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that as you grow up, there will never come a day when you go away sorrowful from the things that you have been taught as you have been here, like the rich young man. All right, then, let's look at the passage. The first thing, then, that I would like us to notice as we think about this passage, the first thing I want us to look at is the status of this young man. the status of this young man. Now you see that this account is actually recorded not just in Matthew, but it also recorded in Mark chapter 10, and it is also recorded in Luke and chapter 18. In Mark chapter 10, you can find it from verse 17 to 31. And in Luke chapter 18, you find it at verse 18. Now, if we combine, you know, those three accounts, at least we can say this about this young man. Number one, we can say that he was a synagogue ruler. He was a synagogue ruler. And apart from that, we can also say he must be somebody who had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why he comes to him. He must have heard about the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must have heard about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the life that the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, lived. That is why he does not go to anybody else, but he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, there was no shortage of rabbis in Palestine. But for some reason, this young man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and refers to him as the good teacher. But in the second place, we can also say that this young man must have lived an honorable life. He must have lived a very honorable life. He was an upright man. And we can also say that he was also a very sincere man. As you know, the conversation is progressing, you can notice that fact. That he is a man who is very, very sincere. But in the third place, we can also say clearly that he is a man who had large material possessions. In other words, he was a very rich man. But in the third place, in the fourth place, we can also say from what, you know, he comes and is asking the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say that his religious diet was incomplete. That is why he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ with that question. So his religious diet, there was something that was missing there. There was a deficiency there. That's why he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "What teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" He knew there was something incomplete about his religious life. And that's why he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew there was some imbalance somewhere. There was something that was missing. He was unfulfilled. He was not satisfied with what he had achieved up to that particular time. There was something empty. There was something incomplete. And that's why he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the fifth place, we can also say this, that he is a man that believed in another world. He's a man who believed that there was another world, that there was another life. And that's why again, he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ with that question. He knew there was such a thing as eternal life. Except that he did not know how to obtain that eternal life. And as we see from the conversation, it is very clear that he was wrong as to how to obtain that eternal life. Having said that, you know, let's pause just there and see what lessons then this brings to us. And I want to say this, dear children, that what this tells us is that, you know, achievements, whatever you may achieve later on in this life, my dear children, will never bring satisfaction upon your soul. That's what we see from this young man. You know, and as I said, he was very sincere as he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was not satisfied. We have already noted his, you know, status in society. He was a man of large possessions. In other words, he had achieved much in this world. You know, there was a lot that he could put into his account. But nonetheless, we see a man who is anxious. We see a man who is not at peace. And therefore, I want to say to you, my dear children, that there is something else to life rather than material possession. There is something else, yes, in this world rather than what you might achieve in your education. Important as that might be, there is certainly something else that is much more important in this life and in the life to come. We see this from this man, the longing that was upon his soul. He knew there was something else that he needed to have. And as we progress, I want to say to you that something else is eternal life. That something else is the fact that there is a spiritual life. And that spiritual life, that eternal life, has to do with a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I am saying, you know, the man came to the right person. And he asked the right question. And he was given the right answer. But unfortunately, he goes away without obtaining that eternal life. And I want to say this also to you, our dear parents, that yes, we are grateful that you brought the children here, and the fact that you desire the very best for them. But as I did ask at the beginning, what is it that you had hoped that Eagle's Nest will impart upon your children? Eternal life, salvation, forgiveness of sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope so. But also, I would like to say to you, my dear friends, that even you yourselves, dear parents, can you say that at some point, yes, you would have asked that question to, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, and saying to yourself, how can I obtain eternal life? And would you, can you say, as you know, as we continue here, that yes, you do have this eternal life, which can only be obtained in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His status will not give that to you. In the third place then, rather in the second place, I would like us to see the longings of this rich young man. The longings that we see from this rich young man. We see it again from verse 16. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? That's the longing clearly, yes, that we see from this young man. Now he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, I would like to have eternal life. And I'd like to say, dear friends, that that's an important question which all of us must ask ourselves. What must I do? What good deed must I do to have eternal life? And especially when you think about the person who is asking the question. The man that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ to ask that question. We have said here is a man who had lived an honorable life. We have said here is a man who had lived an upright life. We have said here is a man who is sincere as he comes to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is a man who had, you know, status in society. But all that, he recognized that there is one thing that all those things had never given to him. That's why he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice that he comes on his own. Nobody, it does not even come with anybody else. He comes by himself. And he comes to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, asking that question. What was he asking in that question? What was he asking that question? Well, in the first place, he was saying, how can I be saved? He was saying, how can I become a Christian? That's what he was saying. A man who was religious. A man who was very, very sincere in what he is saying. A man who had done his very best in obeying the law. And who says, you know, who has the courage to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, all these I have kept since I was young. That's the man that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking how he can have eternal life. In other words, he's asking the Lord Jesus Christ, how can I be assured of having a place in heaven? He's asking the Lord Jesus Christ, how can I be assured that if I were to die today, I will have eternal life? He's asking the Lord Jesus Christ that how can I have a foretaste of heaven here on earth? That how can I begin to experience something of the joy, something of the happiness of heaven while I am still here below? That's the question that we all, dear friends, need to ask. He's asking the Lord Jesus Christ, how can I escape the pains of hell? That's the question. How can I, you know, avoid ending up in hell? That's what he's asking the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, what good deed must I do to obtain eternal life? You know, the Bible tells us this, dear friends. In Daniel and chapter 12, we read these words. In Daniel chapter 12, we read these words. We'll read just one verse there. Yeah, verse 2. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So they know, this man knew there are those two aspects. That's why he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And essentially, what he is saying is that, you know, he wants to awake and awake to everlasting life and not to shame and not to contempt. And so he comes to the good teacher in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you, my dear parents? What about you, my dear parents? What about you, my dear children? Would you say you've would awake to everlasting life in the presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? But furthermore, when he says, what good deed must I do to obtain eternal life? He's actually saying, how can I have real life? How can I have real life? What good deed must I do to obtain eternal life? And you see that from the answer that our Savior gives to him. Let's go back to our text in Matthew chapter 19. In verse 21. You see how the Lord Jesus Christ responds to him. Verse 21, Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. That's what the Lord is saying to the man. That it is not so much the things that you have here below, but it is ensuring that you have a treasure in heaven while you are here on earth. That's the life that this young man is asking from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that life which is so lived while you are here below, knowing fully well, being assured that you have a treasure in heaven. In other words, it is the life lived here on earth to the honor of our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a life lived, you know, to attain everything that this world can offer. Not a life that is lived to simply obtain status in this world, but a life that is lived bearing in mind that there is another life. And the only way you can do so, it is if you live to the honor of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, having seen that, a few lessons then that we can draw from this fact. Number one, I think we can learn here that yes, it is important to be concerned, to be concerned about the things of this world. And yes, one of those is education. It is important that you get educated as much as you can. It is important you work hard. It is important, yes, if you can, to obtain, material possessions in this world. But in the light of what we see from the rich young man, we see that don't do those things to the exclusion of eternal life. That's, don't be so carried away that those things become the most important thing that you must obtain in this world. And don't obtain those things so much that they become so important that you are not ready to give them up, not even for the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be sad. And that's what we see from the rich young man. That is what kept him away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, perhaps he had worked sincerely hard to have obtained all those possessions. But the sad part is that they became an hindrance. They kept him away from the Lord Jesus Christ. They kept him away from obtaining eternal life. In other words, what this is telling us, dear friends, is that the danger of the things of this world keeping you away from the Lord Jesus Christ, from being saved, from becoming a Christian, the danger is real, as we see it in the case of the rich young man. Therefore, do not achieve the things of this world to the exclusion of the fact that there is another aspect to us as human beings. There is another aspect to us as human beings. And what is that aspect? You have a soul. You have a spiritual life that also needs to be taken care of. And that is what this rich young man does not want to take care of, according to the instructions that the Lord gives to him. In the third place then, we need to ask the question, how then can one obtain this eternal life? How then can one obtain this eternal life? As the rich young man is asking the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, if we follow this conversation, As we follow this conversation, number one, we can say it is not by observing the law. It is not by observing the Ten Commandments. Because clearly, if that was the case, this young man would not have gone to the Lord Jesus Christ with that question. Perhaps the question that he could have gone with to the Lord Jesus Christ would have been something like this: how can I maintain this eternal life that I have? That perhaps would have been the question. How can I maintain this eternal life? But that's not the question that he goes with to the Lord Jesus Christ. A man who had lived a good life. A man who had lived a sincere life. A man who had kept the commandments of the Lord. That's the man that goes to the Lord Jesus Christ and is asking the question, how can I obtain eternal life? And we see that in asking that question, he was anxious. He was not at peace. Here is a man who was truly troubled by this spiritual deficiency that he knew upon his soul. Right, so it is not by observing the law. And after all, dear friends, I'm sure you can agree with me that none of us can manage to observe all that the Lord has commanded us. Therefore, it is impossible to obtain eternal life by observing the law. It is absolutely important that we take note of that very fact. And thus the big lesson that we can draw from the rich young man. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, actually gives him a simple test. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ gives him a simple test here. That's why he says to him, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. To see whether he really loved his neighbor as himself. And he immediately fails the test. As much as he was claiming that all that he had been able to do, the Lord also wanted to demonstrate to him that yes, as much as you can claim to do that, it is not possible to do everything. And that one simple test, the rich young man failed. But number two, still answering the question, how can one obtain this eternal life? We can say from what we've already said that it is not by being good. No, it is not by being a good child. No, it's not by being a good pew-pew. And yes, you know, some of you, perhaps most of you, dear children, have been good pew-pews here at Nigo's Nest School. But nonetheless, we still want to say to you that that goodness, no matter how good it might be, cannot give you eternal life. Here is a good man who went to the Lord Jesus Christ asking for eternal life. If his goodness could have given him that eternal life, again, he would not have gone to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the danger with thinking or convincing yourself that you are good? The danger is that you will not recognize your own sinfulness. You will not recognize that in you is a sinful heart, which needs to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing, for forgiveness of sins. So, do not ever entertain the idea that you are a good person. If you would like to obtain eternal life, you must be able to say to yourself with all your goodness that you have a sinful heart, that you are a sinful person who must come to the Lord Jesus Christ if you must obtain eternal life. But in the third place, you're answering the question, how we can obtain eternal life. It is by surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it is by surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where this rich young ruler failed. This is where he failed. He was not ready to surrender to the instructions that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and then come and follow me. He was not ready to do what it takes to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not ready. And at that point, the rich young ruler failed the test. We are told here that he went away from the Lord Jesus Christ very sad. Now it is important to note that the Bible is not saying he went away from the Lord Jesus Christ very annoyed. He was not annoyed, but he was very sad. What does that tell us? It tells us that he knew Jesus Christ was telling him the truth. He knew that what the Lord Jesus Christ had said was the truth, which he was not ready to do. That this was true about him, a man who was clinging to his possessions. A man who considered his possessions as much more important than his neighbor. And he was not annoyed because deep down in his heart he knew he had failed the test. As the Lord Jesus Christ gives him to him. And the test was that he was not ready to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. What good deed must I do to obtain eternal life? Listen to the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's command is this, that we believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we confess him with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thus God's command. And that is what you do if you are going to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what this rich young man was not ready to do. He was not ready to submit to the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. His possessions, therefore, become an hindrance. Why must we surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it is because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has obtained eternal life by his blood. And all those who come to him and surrender to him through him, they would therefore obtain this eternal life. I hope I've answered the question, my dear friends. How can I obtain this eternal life? But a few things then I would like to say as I come to a close. A few things I'd like to draw your attention to as I come to a close. Number one, I'd like us to notice here, dear friends, that even among those who are good, there are some who are on their way to hell. That's what we see from this rich young man. That he chose that which is unhappy. And yet, he was a good man. And so, even among those that will rise to shame and contempt on the judgment day, you can find good people. That should raise. But number two, from what we have noted, we can also say that this world with all the good things that it is able to give to each one of us, can never bring everlasting satisfaction. It won't. And that's why the man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever achievements you may have to your credit, dear friends, that I would like to assure you will never give you will never give you eternal and everlasting satisfaction. In the third place, I would like to say to you, dear friends, that each one of us must be asking ourselves the question, what must I do in this life to be assured of eternal life? To be assured of a better life. And not concentrate on the things of this world, hoping those things will bring you satisfaction. No, they won't. But we must be asking ourselves, what must I do to be joyous, to be happy in another world? And as I've said, it is by coming to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I end then by simply saying this, dear friends, the danger of worldly possessions is real. It is real. It can keep you from the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've said of this rich young man, he is a man who was so close to the man that gives eternal life. And yet, his heart so very far. That can be true of any one of us, perhaps, who have been brought up in a religious home, been brought up here at Eagle's Nest School, where, every week you are taught the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is brought before you again and again, so close, so near, to the source of eternal life. And yet, upon your heart, there may be something else that can keep you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope none of us will go away from the Lord Jesus Christ sorrowful like the rich young man, but rather that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and cling to him all the days of your life, knowing fully well, where can we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.